Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Oh, we're so glad to be with you once again. And finally, the weather's broke up here in Cleveland. It's a beautiful day that the Lord has given us. Makes me think of the time when Jesus is going to come back and we'll, for 1,000 years, we're going to have a wonderful time. He'll create paradise on earth and the time is getting close. But meanwhile, in our program, we believe that God has given us the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. It's not hidden somewhere in a cave or something. And so we have it in the Authorized King James Bible. But I've been thinking that I'd like to interview some pastors get their ideas on this subject, because I believe it's one of the most important subjects, and I'll tell you why. You know, when we accept Christ, we accept Him as our Lord. That means He's the boss. He's our God. And how is He our Lord? Well, it's moving this way that people are saying that experience is the test of truth. Well, it's religious experience. Well, but this is not true. God's word is the test of truth. And Jesus said in three of the Gospels, heaven and earth should pass away, but my words will not pass away. So we believe that we have it today, but we've been talking about it. And I think that I've been thinking, I'd like to get pastors that have been, God has blessed them greatly. And I believe that Pastor Jones that we are going to talk to today, he has been there for many years, and God has blessed his church greatly, as a large church, really, and has been very blessed by God in the ministry. And so I would like to talk to him today. Pastor Jones, are you here now with us?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on the radio. And we're here also with Pastor Al Davis from Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he'll be talking too. But we're going to, first of all, how long have you been at your church?
We have actually been here at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Ashtabula for over 27 years.
Well, that's a wonderful record. You know, not pastors don't make it that long. So that shows that you have something on the ball there when you're staying there, and also that the church is growing. And where were you saved, and how are you saved?
I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky, and attended Faith Baptist Temple there, and I actually went to a church camp as a young teenager and came to know the Lord while at camp when I was 13 there.
Well, that's great. And so you've been a Christian a long time. Now, since we're on this subject, okay, I'm going to ask you a number of questions about the King James. Now, first of all, maybe one of the most important questions is, why have you come to believe that the King James Bible is God's Word?
Well, I can give you the short answer because of our time constraints, but I actually teach a course every 3 or 4 years at our church that runs for 13 weeks. And so there's a lot of information there to assimilate and to consider for the serious Bible student. But the short answer to your question revolves around the fact that in the English language, the King James Version of the Bible is the last in the English language to be translated from the majority text. Every single translation in English since the King James Version that has been accepted in any major way has been based on an entirely different set of manuscripts that are incredibly problematic on a number of levels. So the King's English may not be everyone's cup of tea, so to speak, but to go to something else, you're not just trading old language for new language, you're trading a whole historical manuscript family for a completely different situation. So that underlies, for me, the importance of staying with the King James Version in the English language.
Well, that really is certainly a good reason, and I have read that nearly 99% of the ancient manuscripts back up the authorized King James Bible, where the other one is 1%, and even the 1%, they call it in textual history books, the eclectic text, because they disagree with each other.
Yes,
It's hard to imagine why these professors keep on promoting this. I think one of the other important questions that's so significant is, what do you think the damage is caused by having all these translations? And we know that they disagree with each other in thousands of places, as well as the King James Bible. What do you think the damage is done to Christianity by this kind of a thing?
For me personally, who deals with the Word of God every day, it goes back to that very phrase, the Word of God. Either it is God's Word that I need to learn and understand and obey, or if I say it's not all God's Word or it can be different, well, then I become the master here and not the servant. I'm the one who makes the final decision on what I accept and what I don't accept. And I think probably one of the greatest damages amongst God's people today revolves around the fact that it casts a shadow on the integrity of God's Word. It casts doubt onto, well, can you really believe it if there are so many different ones out there which say so many different things and have so many different ideas? It changes the authoritativeness of God's Word to the authoritativeness, if I can use that phrase, of man's intelligence. And that just, it just changes everything. So I think the major damage underlying so many things is it calls into question the very integrity of God's Word itself.
You know, God says in the Bible, thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said that, thy word is truth.
Absolutely.
And when you have, I listen on the radio and listen to them, and it's not saying the same thing. It's not a synonym. And that is really disturbing to me, and that's really why we began this program and continued on, because, my lands, as you say, you couldn't say it better. It affects the integrity of God's Word.
Absolutely. And by the way, let me just say I appreciate you and I appreciate your ministry and what you do, and that you are a voice, almost we would say in the wilderness these days, for truth. So thank you for what you do. I wish that I could take everyone into one of our classrooms. I have so much fun working on this project with people in our church who have never confronted this issue before. But if you take a bunch of the different English versions and I pass them out and I say, okay, everyone turn to this text, and some of them can't find the text because it's not even in their version. And then a light comes on and they realize, wait a minute, these are not the same. Or I have everyone turn to a text and I read it, and what they are looking at is so vastly different. They just can't believe it. They think that it's just a matter of updating the English, and that's just so not true in so many places. So thank you for what you do and calling attention to these issues.
Yeah, I notice in this whole thing, if you study what the other side is saying, it's just one falsehood after another piled high. You know, I mean,
yes,
like
sir.
They'll say there's hardly any difference or no doctrinal difference. You know, I like to keep mentioning books, and we mention a whole variety of books all the time. When you teach it, have you used any particular book? Because we want people to know about books that they can read that talk about this issue. Could you suggest, what do you suggest?
Well, we actually produce a curriculum that we sell in our bookstore that we did in-house. But I think there are a lot of good books out there now, and I can just probably give you several authors, and you could do the same thing,
We do it, but I wanted to hear what you said. Now, that curriculum you produce, can people get a hold of that?
You know, they can go to our website and send me an email. They can go to our bookstore here on our campus. And, yes, we have different churches who use it and different people who purchase it. I think it's $15, and it gives a lot of very practical information. But it depends on your listener and their level of spiritual maturity, and I don't mean that as a problem. Some people just haven't known the Lord very long, and you can't give them certain things. But everything from G.A. Riplinger has some very basic things that are good, all the way to Dean John Burgeon, who's much more scholarly and difficult in some of the work that he's done, is specifically in the Greek New Testament work area. But David Sorensen has got a good book. You know, they're just, it's hard for me to recommend a book without looking in and talking with someone and knowing where they're at, because some would pick up one of those books and go, I don't understand this at all. And others would be like a feast for them. So I don't know where to go with that, really.
Yeah, I understand that. So they could get your curriculum, and what is yours called? If they want to look at that, because some people look at a lot of them. I try to read everything pro and con that I can get on it, anything. About yours, I'd be interested in even getting yours.
Yes, sir. Ours is called the King James Version, and then it's subtitled Ignorance, Evidence, Allegiance, and Confidence.
Well, that sounds very interesting. You know,
I have too much fun doing it now. I have 4 or 5 pages of just omissions that are left out of the new versions that people don't understand. And once they begin, it begins to dawn on them that it's not, you're just being traditional or you're just being old-fashioned. There's more to it than that. It changes the complexity of how they view the issue and pushes it in the right direction. One of the more popular versions that has been out there was the New American Standard. It was pushed a lot by liberal colleges and churches, but in the cover of the New American Standard, it clearly says in the preface, for example, that in their New Testament, they've used primarily the Nestle's 23rd edition of the Greek New Testament. Nestle's produces Greek New Testaments, but the New American Standard is based on the 23rd edition of the Nestle's text. Well, by the time they got to the 27th edition of their Greek New Testament, they had reinserted over 500 words back into their Greek text.
You know why?
So for example, those people that are using the New American Standard version don't know that their text is missing 500 words that the Greek scholars themselves decided, whoops, we need to put these back in. And they don't even understand that that argument goes on. They don't understand that that work is being done. They don't understand that the New Testament they hold in their hand has 500 less words than the authors who are producing the text that it's based upon. And that is just compounded over and over and over again, much less the change in meanings and so many other issues.
You know why they put those back in? Because some time back, they found a huge pile of papyri in Oxyrhynchus, Egypt.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, and it backed up the King James readings. So,
yes, sir, you're right. I don't know how much to get into those things here on your broadcast, but that is exactly why they put them back in.
Well, I see you're reading on it. Well, you know, and I found out, you know, the when I first got involved in this, I read that Luke 2:33. It said his father and his mother calling Joseph Jesus' father, and it just shocked me. And so I thought, what in the world is going on here in a new ASV? Because it was recommended by some fundamentalist leaders, and sure. So I thought, I look at my Greek New Testament. It said Potter and Mater. It said the same thing. So Where did that come from? Well, it's Nestle's 23rd edition. So I was reading two different writers that wrote on textual history, Ivory Price from the University of Chicago and Kenyon from England, who were leading writers on the history of the text. And they said it was put out originally by the Jesuits. from the Jesuits. And it's just astounding. But, I mean, these schools, the chaos and confusion that they have there and putting every word under question and even whole verses under question.
You know,
another question I'd ask you then, you know, when we were driving in here, it said, well, that the number of people claiming that they were Protestant. Now, I say that I'm a Baptist, but they include that in the general thing has fallen in the United States. And I'm saying, what do you think many of these Bible schools and colleges have to do with that, dealing with their how they're handling the Bible?
Well, I think that has a major impact on things moving forward and on where we're at today. If the Bible colleges themselves are calling into question the Word of God, they're calling into question its authority, its correctness. And these are our, quote, Christian colleges and that are producing our Christian leaders that I think it's just gets to the very heart of why things are disintegrating the way they are. You know, for you and I who have been around a little longer, we'll just leave it there. We've seen this unfold, but, you know, this is nothing new. One of the things that I have, I said at the very beginning of our program that the King James Version in English is the last one that's based on the majority text. And there are actually three other different texts, but all of the other versions in the English language, for the most part, with Westcott and Hort and that whole crowd, were based on an Alexandrian text. If I may, I would like to read a quote.
Go ahead.
From Irenaeus. From the 3rd century, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead. Help yourself.
Irenaeus in the 3rd century writes, Marcion and his followers have betaken themselves to the mutilating of the Scriptures, not acknowledging some books at all, and curtailing the Gospel according to Luke and the Epistles of Paul. They assert these alone are authentic, which they themselves shortened. And that was going on, and Marcion lived in Alexandria. And so that very text type has been called into question from the very 3rd century A.D. That is the very one that has become the foundation for all of the new modern English versions. There are so many things to point out that I think you could talk about this topic for a year, but it's frightening to me how gullible. It's frightening to me how quickly people accept things without examination. And I think it's hurt Christianity a lot.
You know, you quote Irenaeus, and I think that Irenaeus is only a pastor away from the Apostle John himself.
Not very far. It might be two generations, but not very far at all.
And not only that, the famous Saint Augustine said that they were corrupting the Scripture in Alexandria, Egypt.
Yes, he did. And so this is nothing new. But for those of us who are English-speaking people, there are lots of issues to grapple with. And we haven't talked about the Westcott and Hort issue at all, as the type of men they were. We haven't talked about the motivation of the copyrights and the money issues. Or any of the manuscript contradictions that are out there. I mean, it gets bizarre and people, for the most part, don't have a clue. They just think it's, well, they're updating the English. And it's just problematic.
What do you think about this statement? Because I hear people do this as if this is the end of the argument. Well, you can't understand the King James.
Oh, my goodness. there are people that... like Ripplinger, who actually wrote textbooks on a college level and discussed linguistic things on levels that I just need to be quiet and listen when they talk about those things. But they talk about cognitive scaffolding and all of those kinds of things, and they have determined that the King James Bible was written on a sixth grade level. It's not a matter of it's not understandable as much as it is a matter of I don't like it. I don't prefer it. And even if you don't like the King's English, I can accept that, but what do you do as an alternative? Go to a different Bible that's based on a different text that has errors and changes in it that you don't even know?
I notice in the bookstores, they always talk about translations and never mention the fact that every translation comes from a different text.
Absolutely, they don't.
And then they don't talk about the people that made up the text, and they have the corrupt text, and then the people that even make the lexicons are Unitarians, most of them, and they have corrupted the language, and it's just astounding, you know, the level of misinformation that's there.
It is astounding. There is an interlinear that's put out. I forget the company now, but the interlinear has a Greek text in the middle, the exact literal translation above it, and then this one has the New International Version below it. And several Greek scholars have commented on the fact that there is no Greek text in any manuscript anywhere like there is in that interlinear. They actually reverse engineered it and created a Greek text to match their version. That's just like, that's above frightening to me. That is just astoundingly unbelievable that they would go back to create a Greek text so that they could give credence to their own version. It's just ungodly.
Yeah,
I don't know any other way to say that.
The Bible says in one place that they make merchandise of you, you know, so every translation comes out, and they have to change the words.
Yes, sir.
So that they get money from the copyright.
Yes, sir. By law, they cannot be given a copyright unless it's significantly different. So they change those words just enough so they can get their copyright and make the money off of it. So that's correct.
You know, thank God, though, the Bible says the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so all through the Dark Ages, there's hundreds and hundreds of Bibles that line up with the King James. And not only that, in many different languages.
Yes, sir.
So you have the Syriac Peshitta, you have the Koine Greek, you have the Old Latin Italic text. You have all this. You have this massive amount of evidence, but also, if you take the scripture verses themselves, they point to the true Word of God. And I always like to mention also good books, and we've been talking about this one, but which Bible is God's Word, or which Bible would Jesus use? And this is one of the latest ones that's come out, and probably one of the best that I've ever seen, by Jack McElroy. And so, you know, if you get it, you can get it on the internet, and it shows all the things we've been talking about, what's going on. And I am so glad that I asked you on today, because I know you're very well informed on this, and we thank you so much for coming in. The Bible says that we can trust in thy word do I trust, not in scholars, not in preachers, but in thy word do I trust. And so we can trust that Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a wonderful thought?
Yes, sir. It's a great thought. And I know our time is short, but let me say one more time, I appreciate the work that you're doing there. I appreciate that you're, you know, holding a banner high, because there's so much confusion out there. There's so much watering down of truth that it's exciting to hold a Bible that I can trust in my hand, and I'm glad you're telling people that.
Well, I'm sure glad I asked you to come on, and you're the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church up in Ashtabula, so if you live around there, you better go out there and visit Brother Jones. Thank you so much.
I would love to have him come visit. God bless you, Bruce, and hopefully we can do it again.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.